This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find our show online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. We want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. Go ahead and make sure it's 5 stars, because sometimes y'all leave a 4-star review by accident, and I get a little bit cheesed off. I get angry.
And here's what I do when you leave a 4-star review. I go in and hack into the system. I create a podcast with your name. And I leave it a 1-star review.
The Joe Schmo Show.
Yep, I leave it a 1-star review. Your podcast, 1-star review.
It's just 30 minutes of Ryan going.
Yep, 100%.
That time of the year is upon us, gang, where we mourn the loss of Fair Summer. We go to the funeral and we say, rejoice. Summer was.
We celebrate. Fleeting. We dance upon the grave of summer.
Summer was but a fleeting beauty. We were here and then we were gone.
We rejoice.
Yeah.
That the weather has turned cooler.
What was the?
We celebrate.
We say. Just as summer's hold was fleeting upon us, I was here, but now I'm gone.
Celebrate.
Or if you're Dashboard Confessional.
Celebrate,
I was here, but now I'm
celebrate.
Gone. I'm gone.
Here's the deal. In the words of Green Day, wake me up when September ends. Time to get up.
I despise. That was pretty good. Did you just come up with that?
No.
That was pretty good.
That's not original me.
I despise the autumn. I really do.
I think that it is delicious.
I would rather honestly sleep through autumn, maybe get to the winter and then be like, put me back to sleep. I just can't stand it. Everything's dead. Everything's gray. Everything's cold and wet and dreary.
You know what else is dead?
Uh-huh.
Mosquitoes. You know what else is dead? Plants that produce pollen that I'm allergic to. All that's dead. I don't have to worry about that. People, it's great.
People who like autumn are always going on about how the world is suddenly this wonderland.
I don't care about autumn. I don't care so much about autumn. Autumn's fine.
So you want to get to the winter.
Get me to winter.
But it hurts.
Get me to the heart of the kingdom of ice.
It hurts.
That's what I want. I want frozen tundra. I want icy wasteland. I want to be Elsa out there letting it go.
It hurts to go outside.
It does in the summer, too. That's called sunburn.
No. I don't think I got sunburnt once this summer. I just feel
all of us have a Greek complexion. Okay?
Everybody, fair enough. But I feel like people who like summer are universally loved. But people who like autumn and winter, typically people are like, what's wrong with you?
You know what? This is the RPG debate, just in a different skin. Because you like winter. Think about the things that are in winter. Eggnog. You love eggnog.
I like eggnog, yeah.
Christmas. You may not love Christmas, but you like the holiday.
I like Christmas on Christmas week.
Sure.
I don't like Christmas in October.
Right, but all of that, that's there. You like fresh fallen snow.
Yeah.
That's fine. That all exists in... In wintertime.
I like some of the things, but I'm saying I don't want to sift through, because sometimes it's unfulfilling. Last year, we didn't get any snow. We didn't get any snow, so I just had to suffer through a useless winter.
I hated it.
And I just don't like how dead everything is. It's wet. Autumn is wet. It's cold. It's gray. It's not, because everyone thinks.
It feels so nice to put on like a flannel or to put on like a hoodie or a sweatshirt and walk outside and just feel the crisp air on your face.
Everybody thinks it's like colorful, and it's not. It's colorful for a couple weeks and then it's gray for months. It's gray and it's overcast. Now,
that's fine.
I don't know the last time I saw something just gray and drab and said, that's beautiful. I just don't.
You don't think a cold winter's day with like a clear blue, crystal blue sky, you don't think that's beautiful?
No, it's not a cloud in there, but somehow there's no clouds, but somehow there's a painful wind.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, man, that's
so good.
When
you step out of the car and you feel your face sting.
Bites your nose a little bit? So you love to get out and just you can't see anything.
Hot.
Your glasses are totally fogged over. You sit down and you have to stand up and peel your skin off of the leather couch.
I want to feel the sun put its hand over my mouth and just like down to where I
You
want to
get in the car and be suffocated because of the humidity.
Yeah. And so I can.
No, psycho. Psychopath. Psychopath for that. Absolutely not. No, winter all day long. 100%.
Let's ask Dr. Shah. I don't even need to ask him. I know he's going to take my side. He does not like the cold that India sun has spoilt him
but
and spoilt me.
I can't be alone. I can't be alone. So my winter lovers out there, I know David's with me on this.
Oh, there's tons of
winter
white women
lovers.
Out there. Yeah.
I'm not talking about fall girls with your pumpkin spies. No, I'm talking about winter. Winter.
I want a red-blooded American man that loves winter. That's what you're asking for.
You can be a woman who loves winter, but I need my winter supporters. I know you're out there. We get hated on. We get ragged on the entire year.
Because you're Hallmark people.
Right.
You're like the Hallmark girls.
So what's wrong with that?
This is fake.
My dad was like Santa Autumn. All along. The owner of the bakery was Santa Claus all along. Write in and let us know. Where are you, winter supporters? 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shah's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever, or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it, or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shah has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon, or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. And we're here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abhinand Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, happy Friday, my friend.
Happy
Friday.
Good to see
you guys. Friday.
It is that time of year again when the degenerates and the reprobates and the hoodlums and all the just the people of the world, the riffraff, the hoi polloi, they're out and they're saying, thank goodness fall is coming. Thank goodness the weather's
turning
cold.
You and I definitely agree on that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't want to call it sin, but it's just
that close.
Yeah, I think it's close.
It's just that close.
It just may be sin.
Let's go ahead. I'm so happy.
I'm so happy that I can walk outside and not sweat to death and not walk outside. My glasses instantly fog over.
It's one of the questions Christians always ask. Is it a sin to like the cold weather? We're going to have to go ahead and lock that down.
100% confirmed.
I bully David all the time, you know, when I tell him. It's like, no. And he had a hoodie on the other day. And I was like, why are you wearing a hoodie? Well, it's cold. I was like, that's the whole point.
Don't you speak that evil on me? I got up this morning. I put on a flannel because I was like, you know, I think it's going to be cold. And I was like, oh, doggone it. Yes. I don't want it to be cold.
So happy.
I can't stand the cold. The only solace I have is I know Dr. Shaw is my rock on that. We're children of the summer.
Think about all the fun that happens when the weather turns cooler.
No. Like what?
Like the leaves change color.
They're about to fall.
How fun is that?
And then you got Thanksgiving.
It's a sign of things that are falling.
It's death.
You got Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's fun.
Everybody's
and then Christmas. What if it snows? That's fun.
No, it's not. Well, this is fun. My parents wouldn't let me look.
I got to look at Christmas cards.
No, yeah.
I just look at pictures of it online.
I can watch The Grinch if I want to do that.
No. Okay. Snow once a year, one day.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's great.
Here's the thing about snow.
I'm on board with that. I'm 100% fine with that.
Snow is magical. When you look out and you see it and it's unbroken, it's like, oh, this is great.
This is so beautiful.
The second you walk out to it and you see that brown mush underneath.
Oh, yeah, it looks great.
It's gone.
Ruined.
Yeah, 100%.
It's gone. Ruined. Snow 100%. Is magical for about 20 minutes.
That's right.
Because now that you got kids, they're like, oh, I want to go play in the snow. I want to go play. And then you go out there and it's just, because we don't get a ton of snow.
Right.
We get enough just to hide all the gross mush.
That's right. That brown sludge.
Yeah. So, and I can't even imagine coming from India, coming here, I bet 60, 50 degrees is like, this is a shock to the system.
Yeah, I can't
imagine it. Has your sister started saying anything about the cold?
She did this morning.
Did she really?
What did she say?
She's like, it was cold. I said, I agree.
It's a little chilly this morning. We're going to open up and it was in the low 40s.
It was.
Yeah,
Nicole had turned the heat on.
Yeah.
Did y'all have the heat on?
We do not have the heat on yet.
We've got to have the heat on soon, but it's not there yet. We've got to have the heat on because we woke up. I was in the shower this morning and Ellie came in and said, Holden is freezing cold. Can I put him in there with you? And I was like, No. You give me 2 minutes, you can put him in there.
Yeah.
And she put him in the bath and warmed him up. But he was cold.
Poor guy.
He was cold.
The verse of the day today is coming to us from John chapter 10, verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father.
You know, one of the things that gives me comfort about knowing Jesus is not really so much the Jesus meek and mild, the Jesus like tenderhearted. It's the powerful, commanding Jesus that has absolute authority.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's one thing that I really respect about you, especially as a pastor, but also as a text critic. And I think we said this the other day when we were doing the book club. It might have been yesterday's episode. We're not arguing for being correct. We're arguing for scriptural authority, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And that is an age-old problem where Satan asked that question, are you sure God said this?
Yeah.
And ever since then, he's been asking that question, are you sure? Is this truly God's word?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's scripture that is under attack.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And absolutely.
The authority of Christ, you know, he has authority over everything in this world.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing more and more people either question that or doubt that in light of all the devastation that we've been seeing here in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hurricane Helene and then Hurricane Milton, the devastation that happened, people lost their homes, lost loved ones, lost their entire livelihoods, lives have been upended.
Mm-hmm.
People are thinking questions like that when tragedy strikes. You know, if God is real and he's good and he's loving, and he's powerful, why do these bad things happen?
Right.
Natural disasters. I mean, this isn't a crime that someone's perpetrating. This is nature itself that's wiping things out.
And so how do you call for justice?
Right.
You know, is there even justice to call for?
Yeah.
You know, it's a frustrating thing because with Helene and then with Milton, and we haven't talked a ton about Milton because at the time of recording, it's still kind of new.
So fresh, yeah.
But people want something similar to justice, but what do you ask for?
Right,
you know, what do you ask God for?
There are answers to this. Often people just say things, but there are no answers. There are answers. Let's begin with the first answer, which is the technical answer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at natural disasters. Why do they happen?
Mm-hmm.
Technical answer, at least for the hurricanes that we have been experiencing. And Michael Ord, who has written profusely on this subject, and I'm kind of using his material, but kind of paraphrasing it here. Hurricanes are formed when the ocean water heats up past 80 degrees Fahrenheit. What happens at that point? The warm water evaporates faster than the cold water, and there's much more water vapor in the air above.
Right.
Okay, so water is heating up, evaporating, a lot of water vapor up there. The water vapor that is condensed into clouds then kind of radiates hot air.
Just like a super hot cloud.
Yes, yes. So it's up there radiating the heat. And this combined with the tropical air, where are all these hurricanes coming from?
They're coming from the coast,
Coast, you know, from the south. So combined with the tropical air, which is already warm, it causes a large pulse. The way he writes it is very helpful. It causes a large pulse of heat to rise high into the atmosphere. Large pulse of heat to rise high into the atmosphere. Now, if the winds from both the surface of the earth and way up in the atmosphere are moving in the same direction, surface of the earth, way up in the air, are turning in the same direction, the warm air begins to focus on one area.
Yeah, I can see that. Like if you stir a cup of coffee, you see that focus right in the center.
From the ground, from the top, and they're both almost not parallel, but more of not even concentric. I mean, they're in sync, sync. Then it begins to build. You know, we've seen those funnel clouds.
Right.
We've seen those tornadoes. So, what happens then? The combination of heat and water causes bands of spiraling thunderstorms. They start whirling towards the center, and the rain gets torrential in these bands, with the eye, the center of the hurricane, getting the most amount of rain.
Right.
And we've seen that eye sometimes 15, 20 miles wide.
Yeah, that's true. They can get massive.
Yeah.
Very massive.
And now, as the barometric pressure drops in the middle of the eye, the wind actually increases, which makes sense, right? Pressure drops. Wind is, nature abhors a vacuum. So here
it
comes.
It starts to fill it.
But it's not like trickling in. I mean, it's coming massive. The wind increases and causes more of the ocean water to be picked up in the air.
Yeah, makes sense.
Right? So that's happening. And David is going to throw an image that Michael Ord put in one of his books. And it'll be there in just a second.
Okay.
So barometric pressure drops, wind increases, picks up more ocean water, and this makes the storm become even more violent.
So it's heat and pressure.
And I would say moisture and wind.
Okay.
It's a foursome combination. Yeah. Heat, pressure, moisture, and wind.
Yeah. It's a massive, hurricanes are massive storms too. Even like the small, like category ones, or even if you're talking about like tropical depression, tropical storms, they're huge.
They're devastating like when they touch land. I can't imagine, but you know what's funny is I think people don't realize how fearsome they actually are like when they're on the ocean. Like I don't know if this is true, but I've always heard that when it touches land, they start to die.
They begin to dissipate. We all know that if it hits cold water or if it goes into the mountains, then that at that point, we know it becomes a tropical storm, category two, whatever. Now, what happened with, say, Helene, you know, we're talking about what happened in the mountains of North Carolina, Tennessee, even Virginia, maybe even Northeast Georgia mountains. We used to live there.
Yeah.
What happened is with the rain began to come even before Helene made
landfall.
Right. And so ground was already soaked with water. And then that sort of became weather fuel. So winds are picking up. So it picks up that groundwater. And it's like this massive engine or vehicle or truck, I guess, is just roaring, and you're just constantly putting oil and gas in it, so it's taking even more power. I mean, just going full force.
Right.
And then something else happened. Not only did this hurricane stay a hurricane up in the mountains, But all that water did not kind of go into the ground because it was so torrential. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, you've seen that. You've seen it in our streets and highways when it's like a torrential rain, the water just sort of stays on top.
Yeah, like
the ground can't absorb it.
If I soak a sponge full of water and it's completely full and I pour more water on it, the water's just going to absorb the water.
Yeah, where's it going to go?
Yeah.
And if the ground is hard, especially, you know, rocky ground, then nowhere to go.
Right.
So what happened with this is that water sitting on top, it took all the loose dirt, which is not just like a little bit of, you know, dirt. It's millions of tons of dirt.
Yeah.
And it took it along with debris and trees and homes and light poles and telephone poles and vehicles and, unfortunately, sadly, human bodies. I mean, it took it all down, and water will find the path of least resistance.
Right.
And it found that path of least resistance, and down it came into those creeks that are only ankle deep.
Mm-hmm.
Now they became a raging river,
about
14 feet deep.
That's right.
12 feet deep.
You know, we mentioned that yesterday, the landscape. It's changed
totally
forever. It's a complete change of landscape.
By the way, something interesting to point out, you know, something terrible, horrific. People talk about creation taking millions of years.
Mm-hmm.
Go out west. Don't go if you're just going to go for sightseeing, because you need to go there to help. If you're not helping, stay away from Western North Carolina.
Yeah.
But if you see those images, some of those creeks and, you know, riverbeds, they were not there.
Yeah, right. They didn't exist yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. Just a few hours ago, there was nothing there.
But 100 completely reorganized in just a couple hours.
But 100 years from now, some scientist will come along and say, "See this raging river? It actually took
millions of years.
It took at least 10 or 15,000 years for this thing to be like, no, it was not there.
Yep.
One day, and it was there the next day.
The next day it was there. Yep. It carved it out. Imagine this planet going through not only creation but also the separation of water from the land.
Can't do that because it's so unscientific.
Yeah,
it's not. You read that in fantasy books, but it doesn't happen in real life. Oh, look, it just happened.
Oh, look,
it's on the news.
And then the worst catastrophe to hit this planet, Noah's flood.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what that did to the terrain.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If this one isolated hurricane was
over less than 12 hours, did this.
Yeah. Right. Imagine Noah's flood.
Yeah. That's how Grand Canyon came to be, folks.
Yeah. True.
That's exactly how the Grand Canyon was formed.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Colorado River.
Seems a little unscientific to me.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me.
And you can go look at the same rivers now. They're not 14 feet deep.
Yeah.
The water's gone.
Right.
And it's just a little trickle left.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. Anyways, going back to this. So people have all kinds of conspiracy theories on how this has happened. And a big culprit here is global warming.
Yeah.
Global warming.
Doggone Al Gore, man. We should have listened to you, man.
Didn't listen.
Inconvenient truth.
It is an inconvenient truth.
Yeah. No, it's not truth at all. But I mean, just carbon credits. Send it my way. You know, put it in my mailbox.
Uh-huh.
So the question is that causing the water to heat up? Because, you know, as we began this whole conversation, it began by, you know, saying when the water temperatures get beyond 80 degrees Fahrenheit, storms begin.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So is it climate change? Because if this is happening, the next question is, are humans to be blamed? Because that is what is often claimed.
Mm-hmm.
It is claimed that human beings are the cause for the rise in temperature, since they're burning lots and lots of fossil fuel.
They're destroying all the rainforests, tearing them down.
Every time you get in your car and your SUV, by the way, they don't say that anymore.
No, I've noticed that rhetoric has changed.
Yeah, it's no longer the one during Katrina. It's like, oh, the SUVs, man. People were slicing people's tires.
Yeah, they were trying to get you to drive a hybrid, man.
I remember that.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Slicing people's tires.
Yeah.
Wild.
But people are mad at Elon Musk, so they're not gonna push the Teslas at all. They're like, well, I really want these people to drive Teslas, but I don't like Musk.
I don't like him.
Who cares about the climate now?
Yeah, it's all good.
So the first thing first, carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases have risen in the past 100 years.
So there's a little bit of truth to it.
Yes, there is truth to it. But the greenhouse gas that has caused the most warming is actually water vapor.
Hmm.
Not
It's not my SUV.
Ooh.
No.
Gotcha.
There's a wrench in your narrative there.
Yeah.
It's not all the methane from the cows and all that stuff. It's the water vapor. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this, by the way. You remember that?
I do.
We talked about this, how they were saying, you know, oh man, the carbon dioxide is just going through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually look at the percentage is like, oh, that's it?
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
No. That's the annoying thing is like you have like these studies take time, like they take years so that you can establish these patterns. But in the waiting, you always have to wait for the people who, or you have to put up with the people who just know it's you and your car and your lifestyle.
It has to be.
And I just gotta listen to you for another 10 years until the data comes out.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Buy my green credit. Uh-huh. Yes. Give your greens to my credit.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And then there are natural causes for climate change, like strong volcanic eruption, which cause cold global temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then El Nino. We used to talk about El Nino back in the 90s. We don't talk about that anymore.
I remember hearing about that in school, and then I never heard about it.
La Nina.
Yeah, La Nina, El Nino.
Yep.
El Nino is warm water in the Pacific Ocean, which causes hot global temperature.
Okay.
Okay. So this is different than human beings driving putting too many gasolines or driving too many gasoline powered vehicles. That's all of a sudden driving the temperature through the roof. That's not what's happening here. They also have found that there are more sunspots now, which cause higher temperatures. By the way, sunspots actually are cool spots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So sunspots, you would think, okay, that's making it hotter. No. What happens is when there's sunspot, there's also what's called faculae, which are the hot spots. So you have sunspots, but to counter that, there are hot spots, which actually make things hotter.
Like like for a beam of light that would make things hotter, there's also a shadow. You know,
right?
Because if you have a hot spot or a beam, you have to have a shadow as
right.
well.
Right. That so that sense. Actually makes things hotter.
Yeah.
And if you study the history of our planet, and where do you study them? Literature.
Mm-hmm.
What you find is that our planet, and I believe it's only 6,000 years old, has gone through periods of cold and hot temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Read some of those, even like Shakespeare's literature. About 500 years ago, it was much colder, much colder.
So
one of the reasons why the Vikings were leaving their Greenland to go find some other place to live.
Because Greenland wasn't very green.
Yeah, it was very cold. Yeah.
So the Earth is getting hotter, but you say man is not the cause of that. This is a natural variation.
Yeah. And how much hotter? I mean, you would think if we've all been driving these petrol-powered vehicles in the past 150 years, or maybe less than 100, maybe 100 years, 120 years,
right?
It should be like astronomical. No, since 1880, the temperature has risen only 1.6 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm. Really?
On
just
average.
Just 1 degree, barely 2 degrees.
Barely 2 degrees.
In what is that? 140 years.
Yeah. So yes, it has risen, but not the way it is made out to be.
Right. This is not a crisis,
right?
Not a crisis that we can control.
Right.
This is what it is sad. Maybe the control could be in the sense of, hey, the coastal communities need to think again about where you're building.
Exactly. Yeah. Rethink that beachfront property.
Yeah. Maybe think again on emergency management systems.
Right.
Maybe we need to have disaster relief ready to go every hurricane season. And also, if you study hurricanes, if this is global warming, and I hope people are listening and watching, if this is global warming and if this is climate change, you know, people don't like global warming some days they like climate change.
Mm-hmm.
People are weird. Why are certain years hotter than others?
That's a great point.
Or better said, why are certain years more hurricanes than others?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they're not every year.
Right. Yeah. And it's not like a trend. It's kind of
ups and downs. 2004, there were like a record number of hurricanes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Record number. What happened?
Right.
Was it like people were just driving like crazy? Like every waking minute, people were like, I got to drive.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. You're saying the variations indicate that this is a natural phenomenon.
It's a natural phenomenon.
Yeah. Because we haven't like done better some years, worse some years.
Yeah, like this was a year like everybody was driving.
Got
even
you,
the kids
you,
were
you.
Like, I'm just going to take dad and mom's car while they're asleep and drive.
Yep.
The variations.
Everybody bought their 5-year-old an SUV. Yeah.
I'm with you. I was, the variations indicate that this is probably a natural thing that is more or less outside of human control.
It is outside of human control. And I would say best we can do is with our technology, with our understanding, is create ways to help people, to provide relief, to even prevent in the sense of some of these coastal communities need to think twice about what are you building, what you're doing, be careful.
That's gonna destroy. That's a great point. If you look through history, technology has not been what it is, and human contributing to the environment has never been what it is today. But storms weren't less frequent, throughout history.
Right.
There wasn't way less natural disasters than there are now.
Right. Right. And so we've had the technical answer. I know there's a biblical answer to get into. We're out of time for today, but I want to jump back into this next week's episode.
Yeah, let's do it on Monday.
To answer these questions that people have. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. John, anything you want to plug as the show ends?
Yes, absolutely. Make sure you pick up our debut album, Heaven Here and Now. It's available right now on iTunes and Spotify. Also pick up Dr. Sean Nicole's book, 30 Days Praying for America. You'll be glad you did. It's daily devotions to help heal our nation. It's available on Amazon and Apple Books, I think. Maybe coming soon.
I think so.
Yeah, coming soon to a digital bookstore near you. It's definitely on Amazon, so go ahead and grab your copy today.
That's right. You guys have a wonderful weekend worshiping with your church families, and I will see you bright and early Monday morning. I had a great week of content planned for you. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.
Good job.